From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
Listener, welcome back with me, Asmawati Rahman. We will accompany you for the next 60 minutes. In today's edition, we will present some segment to you, beginning from news, commentary, and other interesting information, as well as Indonesian songs. Well, listener, we begin with news.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news read by Rahmawati. First, the headlines. Yogyakarta and Solo commuter line projected to drive tourism. Free COVID corridor program for reopening Bali for tourists. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo inaugurated the Yogyakarta-Solo commuter line on Monday as the government endeavors to boost the two cities' tourism industry and other economic sectors battered by the COVID-19 pandemic. Jokowi stated at a ceremony held in Yogyakarta that the government is optimistic that this electric train service will facilitate to and from mobility of people and goods between Yogyakarta and Solo. It is also expected to boost tourism and other economic sectors. At the event, President Jokowi was accompanied by Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi, Yogyakarta Governor Sri Sultan Hamengkubuwono X, and Central Java Governor Ganjar Pranowo, among others. The head of state lauded the use of eco-friendly technology in the Yogyakarta-Solo commuter line and highlighted the significance of applying environment-friendly technology for other means of transportation across Indonesia. He affirmed that he thinks the mode of transportation in Indonesia must be directed to eco-friendly mass rapid transit in the future. Other vehicles must also be eco-friendly. Tourism and Creative Economy Minister Sandiaga Uno unveiled a plan to reopen Bali for tourists through the Free COVID Corridor program. As quoted by Antara News Agency, the minister noted during an online dialogue themed Vaccination Comes, Tourism Shines on Monday, the government has prepared the Free COVID Corridor for Bali and several other tourist destinations. He further said the program, which is a proposal from Tourism and Creative Economy Agents in Bali, has been often being deliberated by the local government. The one-time Jakarta Vice Governor spoke of having repetitively streamlined the plan. Uno called on the government to exercise caution to examine the possibility of reopening green zones areas with the lowest risk of COVID-19 transmission in the world-renowned tourist island for tourists, including foreign travelers. He also explained the plan for the designation of green zones in Bali, including Nusa Dua and Ubud, and can be expanded to cover Nusa Penida and several other areas to align with the local government's directives. The Communication and Informatics Ministry is unswervingly working toward boosting synergy with digital health services providers and related stakeholders following a rise in users of such services to avail consultation during the COVID-19 pandemic. The ongoing nature of the COVID-19 pandemic has continued to push forward telemedicine digital health services channels and digital independent consulting services to become an alternative solution for people to get treatments. It was said by Secretary General of the Communication and Informatics Ministry, Mira Tayyiba, during the launch event on telemedicine app held virtually on Monday. as reported by Antara News Agency. She remarked, to this end, the ministry strives to strengthen synergy with telemedicine providers and other related stakeholders. Such a measure is perceived as being crucial on account of the swift growth in digitalization in the health sector. Citing data of the Central Agency for Statistics, Tayyiba affirmed that the communication and informatics as well as the health services sectors had clocked the highest growth in 2020. At 10.58% and 11.6% respectively on a year-on-year basis. Indonesian Ulama Council or MUI Chairman M. Holil Nafis was vociferous in emphasizing that liquor cannot be legalized on grounds of adhering to local wisdom. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Nafis notified reporters in Jakarta on Monday in response to the government's policy to allow investment in the liquor industry in several provinces that on the basis of local wisdom, liquor still cannot be legalized. He remarked that he personally does not agree with the liquor investment, although it is only permitted in four provinces. The MUI chairman pointed out that even as some people stood to be benefited by investment in the liquor industry, it will also cause moral damage to society. He thinks the policy should be repealed on account of the aspirations of the people, as it is not beneficial for the future of the people. It may provide investment benefits, but it also causes extensive loss to the people. Now we move to the international news. China's electric car maker NIO Inc. on Monday forecast an up to 18% jump in current quarter deliveries from the fourth quarter, after its quarterly revenue more than doubled, helped by rising demand for battery-operated vehicles. According to Reuters.com on Tuesday, NIO has emerged as a strong challenger to Tesla in China after it received government funding worth $1 billion last year that saved it from the brink of bankruptcy and helped soothe its cash woes as it struggled with recalls and falling sales. While Tesla continues to dominate the electric vehicle market in China, NIO also faces competition from homegrown rivals such as XPeng Inc., which in January secured a credit line of 12.8 billion yuan from Chinese banks. NIO, which makes ES8 and ES6 electric sport utility vehicles, saw its US-listed share soar over 10 times last year. As China led the global automobile industry recovery from the COVID-19 pandemic. However, the company's stock has changed little this year due to concerns of slowing economic growth from fresh lockdowns as a result of rising coronavirus cases. The Biden administration backed Democrats' efforts to overhaul voting rules and turn over the process of drawing congressional districts to independent commissions on Monday, weighing in on a political fight that is likely to dominate Washington in coming years. As quoted by Reuters.com on Tuesday, President Joe Biden's Office of Management and Budget said in a statement that the United States is facing an unprecedented assault on democracy, a never-before-seen effort to ignore, undermine, and undo the will of the people, and a newly aggressive attack on voting rights taking place right now all across the country. The House of Representatives is set to vote and likely to pass a sweeping election reform bill, H.R. 1, as soon as this week. Biden's fellow Democrats have a majority in the House, but the bill is unlikely to pass the Senate, where the measure would need support from all 50 members of the party caucus plus 10 Republicans. An analysis in England shows that a single shot of either the Oxford AstraZeneca or the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID jab reduces the chance of needing hospital treatment by more than 80%. As quoted by BBC.com on Tuesday, the Public Health England data showed the effect kicked in 3 to 4 weeks after vaccination. It was based on people aged over 80 who were the first to receive the jab. Government scientists hailed the result, but stressed that two doses were needed for best protection. It comes after similar findings were published by Scottish health authorities last week, which they hailed as spectacular. Health Secretary Matt Hancock told a Downing Street briefing on Monday the latest vaccine results were very strong. He added they may also help to explain why the number of COVID admissions to intensive care units among people over 80 in the UK has dropped to single figures in the last couple of weeks. Well, listener, that was the news from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today is exactly 1 year that Indonesia has been officially side by side with COVID-19 pandemic. On March 2, 2020, President Joko Widodo announced the first case of COVID-19 infection in Indonesia. Afterwards, the number of positive cases of COVID-19 in Indonesia has always been displayed in various media. As of Monday, March 1, 2021, the total number of COVID-19 cases in Indonesia has reached more than 1 million people. Since announcing the first case, the Indonesian government has prepared steps to handle the COVID-19 pandemic, which has killed more than 2.5 million people worldwide because of being exposed with the COVID-19 virus. Besides handling the health sector, policies to deal with economic impacts have been also carried out. The measures in the health sector include appointing a referral hospital, converting the Athletes Village to a COVID-19 emergency hospital, and issuing regulations to contain the spread, ranging from calls for physical distancing, large-scale social restriction, until now limiting micro-scale community activities. The Indonesian government has also taken diplomatic steps to provide vaccine for 70% of Indonesia's population to suppress the spread or creation of communal immunity. The results have been obvious. Indonesia has carried out vaccination programs since January 13, 2021. Apart from buying vaccine from vaccine-producing countries, Indonesia would also create a double vaccine domestically. When giving direction at the 10th Ebori leadership meeting mid-February, President Joko Widodo had ordered to accelerate the production of the red and white vaccine. It is hoped that by the end of 2021, the red and white vaccine can be produced. In the economic sector, it is hoped that economic recovery can be realized by the end of 2021. At least, this trust is held by Bank Indonesia that is optimistic that the national economic recovery in 2021 can be realized. Governor of Bank Indonesia Perry Warjio explained at the 2020 Bank Indonesia's annual meeting, or PTBI, that BI is optimistic that this can be achieved by strengthening synergies through one prerequisite and five strategies. One prerequisite is vaccination and the discipline of the COVID-19 protocols, and the five policy response strategies are the opening of productive and safe sectors, accelerating fiscal stimulus or budget realization, increasing credit from the demand and supply side, monetary stimulus and macroprudential policies, and digitalization of the economy and finance. Seeing the distribution and impact of the COVID-19, ordinary steps cannot be taken. As President, Joko Widodo has often stated on various occasions, extraordinary steps are needed to handle the COVID-19 pandemic and its effect. Of course, it is hoped that all related components of the Indonesian nation will take a proactive role in supporting the extraordinary steps of the government. But actually, there are simple steps that can be taken by the Indonesian people to reduce the spread of the COVID-19 virus. That simple step is to strictly enforce health protocols. There is no need to say being tired, bored, and tired of implementing the set health protocols. Everybody must wear masks, maintain physical distance, and wash hands. Afterwards, they must take part in every innovation in handling COVID-19 eradication. Every individual plays the maximum possible role to stop the spread of COVID-19 in Indonesia and restore the national economy. Hopefully, there is no need to wait for another year to make it come true. That was commentary.
Today in history will start on March 2, 1956, when Morocco gains its independence. Morocco is located in the northern Africa on the shores of the Mediterranean and Atlantic Ocean and borders Algeria and Western Sahara and directly faces Spain. Morocco was once colonized by the Portuguese and Spanish. In the early 20th century, Morocco became a French protectorate. The struggle for independence continues to roll either through negotiations or through fighting. Morocco's efforts to become independent were brought to the UN General Session in 1952. The Asian African Conference in Bandung in 1955 further strengthened Morocco's position in gaining independence. Finally, on March 2, 1956, French gave Morocco independence and King Mohammed V became head of the government. Let's move it on to March 2, 1969, where the Concorde first put into operation. Concorde is a type of supersonic passenger aircraft or aircraft with speeds exceeding the speed of sound, which was first created in the 1950s as a result of cooperation between Britain and France. Concorde was first operated on March 2, 1969. However, due to high operating costs since 2003, Concorde aircraft have stopped flying. The two airlines operating it, Air France and British Airways, retired the aircraft from its fleet and ended the era of supersonic aviation. The last information is from March 2, 1959, when the Bandung Institute of Technology inaugurated. Bandung Institute of Technology, or ITP, is a public university based in the city of Bandung. Initially, ITP was a technical college established by the Dutch colonial government under the name Technische Hogeschools te Bandung, or TH Bandung.
After Indonesia's independence, T.H. Bandung became part of the University of Indonesia, namely the Faculty of Engineering and the Faculty of Exact and Natural Sciences. On March 2, 1959, the faculty separated from the University of Indonesia and became the Bandung Institute of Technology. Currently, ITB has 20 study programs that are internationally accredited. 9 of them were from the Independent Accreditation Body of the United States, ABET. Listener, that was Today in History.
Every time I tell you something, anything leads to nothing. Can we take this back to my place? I promise I'ma take care of your feelings. You know how I've been missing. I'ma hold you tight and we can take it slow. You fix me, girl, I feel so lucky. So much you complete me. You're the missing pieces of my puzzle, baby. Every night I touch you gently, mix your life so completely. And every time you need me, I'll be there for you, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I say I'll give it all. Take trips to New York. Girl, I'll take care of you. Morning caffeine and a late night sipping.
Till the day the world stops spinning, I'll give you the rest of me. And I want you to know, come to me and rest easily, or we could talk things out till 3. 'Cause your love give me the nectar of the soul, baby. You help me see the world so differently. The marvels of the world are in front of me. And every time you need me, I'll be there for you.
Last night was an epic night, yeah. We vibed out, saw the moonlight, yeah. The stars out, then we shine bright. Freaky all night, sipping Henny till we falls out, yeah. Modern day Bonnie and Clyde, man, yeah. Then we got the pot to get that bone, man. Every time we step to a joint, face go red, turning, we finesse. And every time I see the angel eyes flow, the wonderful, sexy body shimmering slow. Got a brother so high while we feeling loco. Hands down, one of a kind, definitely on my mind. I'll open doors for ya, making everyday meals for ya. Take you out to see the world for ya, and I'll care for ya. We'll vacay up in Norway, making babies, bumping sidey every day, yeah.
Baby, come round me.
Next, we are going to give you information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Minister of National Development Planning or Head of the National Development Planning Agency Bappenas, Suharto Manoarfa, and State Secretary and Director of the Foreign Economic Affairs Directorate of the Swiss Government, SECO, Marie-Gabrielle Inesian Flesch, conducted an official launch of the Indonesia-Switzerland Development Cooperation Program 2021-2024 on February 25, 2021, virtually. This cooperation is in line with the priority programs of the Indonesian government as stated in the National Medium-Term Development Plan, RPGMN, and Indonesia Sustainable Development Agenda's SDGs. As quoted on the kemlu.co.id, the event was opened with the welcoming remarks by Swiss Ambassador to Indonesia, Timor-Leste and Asian, Kurt Gunz, and was followed by a keynote speech by the Swiss State Secretary and SECO Director, Marie-Gabrielle Inesian Flesch, as well as Minister Suharto Manoarfa. The event was also attended by various groups, including Indonesian NGOs and the Director General for America and Europe at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Ngurah Swajaya. Minister Suharto Manoarfa expressed his appreciation for the launch of this program, which has accommodated the priority programs of the Indonesian government. The various activities that will be carried out under this program are generally in training, institutional strengthening, and system strengthening to enhance the competitiveness of the Indonesian economy according to the principle of sustainable development. Meanwhile, Director General Ngurah Swajaya explained that this development cooperation program is always arranged in line with Indonesia's national development priorities and takes into account the result of previous program evaluation. He believes that this development cooperation program is beneficial not only for the implementation of national priority programs for the Indonesian people, but also for enhancing bilateral relations of both countries. In his closing remarks of the launching activity, Director General Ngurah Swajaya also expressed his appreciation for the continuation of the cooperation program that has been implemented since 1976, which includes various activities such as education, training, increasing competitiveness, and the realization of sustainable development goals. The outline of the Swiss-Indonesia Development Cooperation for the period 2021-2024 includes strengthening public institutions through efficient use of resources, strengthening the competitiveness of the private sector, especially micro, small and medium enterprises, and developing sustainable tourism with a special focus on issues of gender equality and climate change. Furthermore, he said that the Indonesia-Swiss Development Cooperation model based on Indonesia's priorities can be used as a model for more effective development cooperation. He believed that this collaboration will also be able to help prepare Indonesian entrepreneurs in preparing for the use of the Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement between Indonesia and Switzerland and several other partner countries which are currently still in process of ratification both in Indonesia and in Switzerland. That was My Indonesia.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmi.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forgo the getting over dragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 virus durch richtiges Tragen von Masken. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
semuanya cerita telah berakhir. Jangan tanya ada apa, sukaku saja.
You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.vinews.id. Listener, for the next segment, we will present Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Hello listener, in today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, I'm going to introduce you to Rimbu. Hijab is worn by Muslim women to cover their aurat or private body parts, especially on the head. But do you know, it turns out that women in Kore Village, Sanggar District, Bima Regency, and women in Dompu Regency, West Nusa Tenggara have been wearing the hijab for a long time? Local people think that women's bodies should receive the highest respect, so they wear a body covering called rimpu. Rimpu is one of the traditional women's clothing from Bima region, which is made of two pieces of cloth or sarung. In Bima language, it is called tombengoli. These two sarungs aim to cover parts of the body. One sheet is to cover the head down, and another one is to replace the skirt. Wearing it is quite easy. One sheet of the first sarung is wrapped in the direction of the head and face, then leaving an open space in the eyes or face. Meanwhile, to make the second sarung skirt, just wrap it around the stomach and form it like a skirt, then tighten it on the right or left of the waist. There are two kinds of rimpu that Bima women wear. The first is rimpu mpida, and another one is rimpu cholo. Rimpu mpida, or commonly called rimpu cili, is worn specifically by Bima girls or women who are not married yet. This model is also often called the Bima style veil, which a girl can only show her eyes. In Bima culture, unmarried women are not allowed to show their full face. Meanwhile, rimpu cholo is a rimpu for women who are married. Their faces can be seen by the public. the difference in the use of rimpu between unmarried and married women indirectly explained to society, especially men, about the status of women at that time. For men, especially those who are single, seeing women wearing rimpu mpida is a good sign. Moreover, if the single man already wants to get married soon. Listener, rimpu is not made of ordinary cloth, but from traditional Lombok woven sarungs. And most of these woven sarungs are made by Bima women themselves. The rimpu used by Bima women does not only cover the head, but also half of the body. Thus, their hands are not visible. By wearing rimpu, the body shape is not easy to imagine. Apart from being used for daily life, Bima women also wears the rimpu in traditional ceremonies and Kareko Kande performance. Kareko Kande is a dance performed by women when the harvest comes. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder over Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku o chaku yoshi te COVID-19 no kansen kakudai o fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata o mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Waqaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bishaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forcom, the getting over bragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Masken. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Yeah.
For the next segment, we will present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian, Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, we will introduce to you some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian. This program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Welcome to Let's Speak Indonesian, a radio lesson on Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language that introduces the vocabulary and guides you to converse in Bahasa Indonesia. This program is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia and the Agency for Language and Book Development, the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is Sudah Berapa Lama? Sudah berapa lama, or in English, how long has it been? Next, I will give an example for a conversation on Sudah berapa lama, which means how long has it been? This conversation took place between Kevin and Boris. Boris is Kevin's new neighbor. Boris wanted to know how long Kevin's lived in the neighborhood.
Kevin, sudah berapa lama kamu tinggal di sini?
3 bulan.
After listening to the conversation, I will bring you phrases and vocabulary related to today's topic. I will say the phrases and vocabulary related to today's theme, which is sudah berapa lama, or how long has it been. I will say the words twice and you can repeat after me. Sudah berapa lama, which means how long has it been. Tinggal, which means live. Sudah berapa lama kamu tinggal di sini? Sudah berapa lama kamu tinggal di sini? Which means, how long you have lived here. Sudah berapa lama kamu bekerja di sana? Sudah berapa lama kamu bekerja di sana? Which means, how long have you worked there? Satu bulan, which means 1 month. Sudah berapa lama kamu menunggu? Sudah berapa lama kamu menunggu? Which means, how long have you waited? Satu jam, which means 1 hour. In the conversation, you heard the question, sudah berapa lama tinggal di sini? Sudah berapa lama tinggal di sini? Which means how long you have been living here. In that question, there is an expression, sudah berapa lama? Sudah berapa lama, which means how long has it been? The expression is also used to ask how long someone lived in a certain place. Example, sudah berapa lama kamu tinggal di sini? Sudah berapa lama kamu tinggal di sini? Which means how long you have lived here. Another example. Apart from asking for the period of stay, the expression sudah berapa lama, which means how long has it been, it also used to ask how long someone did something. Example. Sudah berapa lama kamu bekerja di sana? Sudah berapa lama kamu bekerja di sana, which means how long you've worked there. You can answer with satu bulan, which means 1 month. Another example. Sudah berapa lama kamu menunggu? Sudah berapa lama kamu menunggu, which means how long have you waited? Like the one above, you can answer, for example, with satu jam, which means 1 hour. Before ending, mari berbahasa Indonesia or let's speak Indonesian today. For more details, let's listen to the sample of conversation one more time.
Kevin, sudah berapa lama kamu tinggal di sini?
3 bulan.
Listener, that was today's edition of Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, Let's Speak Indonesian. Hopefully it can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening and I'll see you on the next Let's Speak Indonesian.
Let go.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Next, we inform you about Indonesian music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, in today's edition of Music Corner, I'm Rahma. I'm going to present a Malay song entitled Jauh di Mata by Tia Ramon. Created by H.S. Effendi, the song Jauh di Mata tells the story of someone who misses an old friend that he has not met for a long time. He also remembers the times when he was in another region with his friend. He hopes his friend will contact him soon. Like the lyrics of the song, the music of this song is sad and slow in tempo. Tia Ramon is a singer from West Sumatra. He is popular as a Minang and Malay singer. Well, listener, here is the song entitled Jauh di Mata by Tia Ramon. Enjoy the song.
Bersama
Listener, thank you for listening our English program on Voice of Indonesia through shortwave on frequency 3325 kHz. Please give your suggestion and criticism through Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and also send your email to voi@voinews.id.